Proof of corruption, bribery, impeachment, and pandemic in the age of Trump is the final book in Seth Abramson's Proof series, following Proof of Collusion and Proof of Conspiracy, both national bestsellers. Proof of Corruption looks to connect the dots between worldwide headlines to create a comprehensive history and analysis of the Trump administration. The book is a searing indictment of Trump's brazen behavior in office and the dire consequences for the world. Again, the name of the new book is Corruption, Bribery, Impeachment, and Pandemic in the Age of Trump. Seth Abramson, thank you very much for being with us. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So let us just step back for a second and begin with how you started this series in the first place.
Well, so at the beginning of the Trump era, I became a meta-journalist after being a journalist for many, many years. And what a meta-journalist or curatorial journalist does is you compile, curate, and connect reliable major media investigative reporting from around the world and going back decades. The theory being that there isn't too little great investigative journalism about Donald Trump. There's actually too much for people to take it all in, or for each of the pieces that are being reported on to speak to one another and create a coherent narrative. And so that's what the 2,500-page proof trilogy ultimately is.
So when you look at it, was it always your intention to break it up the way that you did of corruption, collusion, and conspiracy? Or is that just the way it played out?
Yes, no, of course. So in 2018, I published Proof of Collusion, and that really focused on the counterintelligence components of the Trump-Russia case that were just reported on in the 1,000-page bipartisan Senate Select Committee on Intelligence report. In 2019, I published Proof of Conspiracy, which was focused on the Middle East dealings of Donald Trump and his aides, agents, allies, and associates with Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the United Arab Emirates. And now this book, Proof of Corruption, focuses, frankly, on an even broader array of countries and courses of collusion, including Turkey, China, Iran, Venezuela, Ukraine, and coming back to the Russia story again, as well as talking about domestic events where there are also signs of bribery or misconduct, including the COVID-19 pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and the 2020 election lead up.
So let's talk about COVID-19 when it comes to Proof of Corruption. Of course, the Bob Woodward book making the headlines this week. So with that in mind, how do we look at this of the president's handling of the virus? And ultimately, as you point out, the first notice of the virus in November of 2019.
Well, I think what the Woodward book does is it confirms for for all of us something that we fundamentally already knew, which is that the president was not being honest about the danger of the virus or the likelihood that it would spread or how it would spread. But the focus in that book, as I understand it, I know it's just coming out soon, is on events in February and March of 2020. What Proof of Corruption does is it goes back and looks at the entirety of the pandemic response timeline and, frankly, just the timeline of the virus to establish, using major media investigative reporting, not just from the U.S., but from China and from Israel and from other countries, that in fact the virus first showed up in China in September and October of 2019. And in November of 2019, the U.S. military, their intelligence regularly on several occasions, briefed the Pentagon as well as the Trump White House about this incredibly dangerous virus that was coming. And so I think right now there's a little bit too much focus on spring of 2020, when in fact the first failure of the Trump White House to respond to intelligence, and frankly, Proof of Corruption says they rejected the intelligence that they were given wrongly in November 2019. We should be focusing on the fall of 2019 as when things needed to happen that didn't happen.
So do we have any reason why they didn't happen? I mean, I think that's one of the things everybody's wondering about as to why it didn't happen.
I think we do have some possible reasons. So let me briefly give you a sequence of events and your listeners can decide for themselves. We know from John Bolton's book that in June of 2019, Donald Trump directly asked Chinese President Xi Jinping for election aid and specifically said that the trade deal the two countries were working on would help him gain re-election. In October, he publicly said that the trade deal gave him leverage over the Chinese. And 30 seconds after he said that publicly, he asked for Biden dirt from the Chinese government. And within a matter of 72 hours, as proof of corruption describes, he got that manufactured dirt through his Chinese trade representative, Michael Pillsbury. The next month, that's when his White House gets intelligence on the virus emanating from China, gets it from U.S. military intelligence, but rejects it. And then in December 2019, the White House accepts an extraordinary, highly irregular major disaster clause in its trade deal with China. So when you're looking at why would the White House reject intelligence about a virus in China in November, and then in December accept a pandemic clause in a trade deal that Donald Trump had directly said was going to help him gain re-election, you feel as though in this matter, as in all other matters, Donald Trump was thinking first about his re-election odds and not about public health.
There are so many overlaps in this story, as I guess can be expected, although it is interesting. You write a lot about Iran in the book and talk about the story of a possible war with Iran, but that story faded as COVID took over. But you believe the threat is still very much real. Talk to us about that, and ultimately then we go into bribery in another sense of Ukraine. So, but let's begin with Iran.
Well, I look at it this way. Most Americans have a significant apprehension about a Republican presidential administration telling lies about events in the Middle East that could lead to a war. As we know, that's what happened in the aughts. What happened in Iran is that in early January of 2020, the Trump administration, and proof of corruption lays out all the evidence for this, misattributed a missile attack that had occurred in the Middle East, and did so in a way that would justify Donald Trump assassinating the second most powerful man in Iran, and doing so while he was in direct contact with nations that have said they want to go to war with Iran, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and Israel. The result of that misattributed missile attack was retaliation that caused 200 traumatic brain injuries to our soldiers in Baghdad. Those injuries Donald Trump later referred to as not injuries at all. Then he said they were merely headaches. Then he said he didn't consider traumatic brain injuries real injuries. And we ended up on the brink of war, perhaps an hour away from another disastrous, bloody war in the Middle East that would have been, frankly, far worse in the toll of human and civilian life, or soldier and civilian life, than the Iraq war. And it appears, proof of corruption goes through this, that all of these events, all of this lying to the American people, was in consultation with autocrats in the Middle East who have their own interests at heart and not America's.
So where are we now in that situation? When can that come bubbling back to life?
Well, so since the events that are described in proof of corruption, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, has been indicted on several charges. COVID-19 has hit Saudi Arabia and the UAE very hard. So those three nations are in a more difficult spot in terms of any aggression that they might want to direct against Iran. And I don't, by the way, mean to suggest that Iran is a good actor on the world stage. It is not. But America does not want to be dragged into another Middle Eastern war. So there have been some changes in the Middle East, but Michael Cohen said recently in some of his interviews connected to his book that he does not think Donald Trump is beyond starting a war in order to distract America or somehow stay in power. And so I think the danger of Donald Trump initiating a crisis again in the Middle East remains, and he will do so. That's clear, if he believes it will aid his reelection odds in some way or allow him to stay in power in some extraordinary way we can't fully fathom right now.
Seth Abramson's book is Proof of Corruption, Bribery, Impeachment, and Pandemic in the Age of Trump. Let's talk about bribery and Ukraine. And you say the truth of which has mostly been left out of the news, that involved the president's private legal team exchanging official acts for items of value from a top Putin agent. So talk to us a little bit about that and how that fits into what we do know about Ukraine.
Well, what came out about Trump's dealings with Ukraine through his agents, his advisors, and his allies during the impeachment trial was maybe 10% of the story. You get basically the rest of the story in proof of corruption. Many Americans believe that what the impeachment came down to, and frankly, what Trump-Ukraine collusion came down to, and that would be collusion with former Ukrainian government officials to provide manufactured fake dirt on Joe Biden to interfere with the 2020 election. Many people think that that comes down to a single phone call in late July of 2019. But in fact, what proof of corruption lays out is that Vladimir Putin wanted Russia exculpated of interference in the 2016 election. He wanted Ukraine blamed for it. He wanted Trump's aid in reasserting control over the Ukrainian energy market. And commensurately, Donald Trump saw a chance in working with Kremlin agents in Ukraine to scapegoat Ukraine for what happened in 2016, suggest that the election interference had actually been on Clinton's behalf, and thereby both eliminate the Russian collusion narrative and encourage the Russians to help him again in 2016. So the course of collusion between Trump and his people and former and current Ukrainian government officials actually began in 2016. It's been going on for years. And that phone call that we've all now heard about was merely one episode in a years-long shakedown of Ukraine to help him win in 2020 and, again, to exculpate Russia from any crimes in 2016. It is a dastardly complex story, and people haven't heard even, I would say, 10% of it, frankly.
So this really does, so much of what you write about, not only in this book, but in the previous two, has to do with this relationship with Russia, doesn't it?
It does. And in fact, I start Proof of Corruption by quoting a number of major media articles that point out that the Trump-Ukraine story, when you just peel away that veneer slightly of all the Ukrainian names and the Ukrainian figures who are involved, it does come down to more Trump-Russia collusion. It's very much about 2016. It's very much about 2020. It's very much about Paul Manafort. But it gets into Vladimir Putin's desire to assert control over Ukraine, specifically over its energy market. It's connected to Vladimir Putin's global plan, which is to, if he can, use Donald Trump to decimate the European Union and NATO and, frankly, the West and Western democracies more broadly writ. And so, yes, the whole story is a Trump-Russia story, but the Ukraine theater of that story, Americans know almost nothing about. And then, of course, Proof of Corruption also shows how Donald Trump engaged with the same sort of quid pro quo collusion with autocrats in Turkey and China and Saudi Arabia and UAE and Israel and Venezuela. There's a pattern here, and that's what I think people need to realize. It's a pattern of bribery that Donald Trump has engaged in since he came into office.
You have a proof of corruption, you have proof of collusion, you have a proof of conspiracy. And yet, while the polls show that Joe Biden is slightly ahead, it is just that, slightly ahead. How does this all play, do you think, for the president going into re-election and Election Day 2020, which is 52 days from now?
Well, it's tough to say. I mean, much of what's in proof of corruption really has not yet come out in a widespread way in major media, and therefore I don't know that Americans are reacting to the fact, for instance, that Donald Trump allowed his business friend Recep Erdogan in Turkey to invade Syria, and that while he was invading Syria and our troops were retreating, Donald Trump's friend Erdogan shelled our troops. Our troops were under attack from Donald Trump's ally. I'm not sure that things like that have hit yet, so we don't know what impact they would have if they fully came out in the next 60 days. I do think the Senate report that came out, which is incredibly damning and was bipartisan and 1,000 pages long, has been underreported. Not enough people sort of know what was in it. And so there's a chance that Donald Trump goes through the next 60 days without people fully appreciating the stories that are laid out with full sourcing. There's 5,000 sources in proof of corruption before Election Day, but hopefully some of it will permeate.
Well, the name of the new book is Proof of Corruption. It adds on to Proof of Collusion and Proof of Conspiracy. Proof of Corruption, Bribery, Impeachment, and Pandemic in the Age of Trump is by Seth Abramson. Seth, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.